I'm really looking forward to our time together this morning. Our text for today invites us into a conversation about fear, facing our fear. So the universal human experience of fear and what it looks like, what it means to allow Jesus to come alongside us in our fear and give us a new perspective. So what kind of love and support do we need to walk to the edge of our fear and maybe jump when love calls us to jump? So what does that look like? What do we need in order to trust that we're loved completely and embraced entirely in our fear? So fear, love, and jumping off the edge. Those are our themes for today. And my hope is we'll leave here maybe a little less afraid, perhaps, but for sure more awake to what's possible with God and with ourselves and with each other. So I'll open us with a question. What are some universal fears that we all face? So think about that for a moment. So what comes to mind? Like maybe the fear of death, the fear of pain, the fear of losing someone or something that we care about. So there's some fears that we can all empathize with. And then probably we each also have like our own set of secret fears that others may or may not know about. And so we're among friends today, so let's just get real close to each other. So would you turn to a neighbor and just ask them this question: what's something that you fear? And so I'll give you a second to think, and then go ahead and turn to a neighbor and share. All right. So could I hear from some of you what came up for you? What are the fears in the room with us this morning? Just call them out. Regret. Yeah. What? The health of our family. Yes. What else? Spiders. Couple more. The loss or death of a loved one, for sure. What was over here? Rejection. Yes, my friend. Yes. So maybe choose a particular fear that's present for you this morning and consider holding that in mind as we go along. It will help us to empathize with Jesus' friends in this story. And so while you're thinking, someone shared with me a video recently that raised some questions for me about what we really need in order to face our fears. And so I first want to introduce you to these three friends that are behind this video. One's from Egypt, one's from Paris, and one's from New York City, and they're roommates now in Montreal, Canada. And they started a campaign called Yes Theory that's about saying yes to your fears. Has anyone? I want to give you a sense of what they're about and then talk about the questions that it raised for me when someone introduced me to their story. So here's the video introducing them. Take a look. So that's an introduction to these three friends. They made that video after the ISIS attacks on Paris in 2015. They were looking for a way to help people face their fear of cultural difference. And since then, they've been all over the world helping people face all kinds of fears. And so here are a few more examples. Take a look.
Aging is only a number. Your body tells you what you can do, what you can't do, and you're never too old to ski.
This is gonna sound crazy.
My jump is accepting the way that I talk. I'm so grateful to be part of something this big.
You so nervous, I feel I'm gonna throw up. Like, I literally feel like I'm gonna throw up.
This half Ironman is by far gonna be the hardest thing that I ever do, but I'm gonna do it.
We're all capable. It's so amazing to just see people from all over the world coming together, becoming friends instantly.
I hand out these sandwiches to some homeless people in downtown. So you do this every morning.
Yeah. Are you hungry? Have a good night, hun.
Me too. I'm trying to make a stranger's day, and I want to tell you I love you.
So I want to leave to you the biggest tip, which is $500.
Dude, I never... Damn, man.
Yeah, I've never had anybody be nice to me before,
man. I'm so scared of heights, bro. I get vertigo.
What are you feeling?
Utter terror.
This is my greatest fear, definitely.
I was so scared.
So I want to share with you what came up for me when I was first sort of following these guys and their story and what they were doing. I wasn't sure at first that I agreed with their premise of just getting people to face their fears by like doing the thing that they're most afraid of, like exposure therapy, like just do the thing you fear most. It usually isn't enough to inspire trust. But what does tend to make a difference is facing our fears with a different level of love and support this time. And that's what I came to understand that these guys had like intuitively stumbled upon. And when I realized that, I was like, oh yeah, that is actually like what we need. And so these guys said one thing they learned over the years is that fear tends to shrink our perspective, but love expands it. And I think that's a really good way to describe this story in our text for today. So we're going to pick up actually in the scene right before our text, because our text starts with 6 days later. So we're going to go 6 days earlier and pick up with Jesus and his friends in Matthew 16, where we read this. So Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter takes him aside and begins to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But then Jesus turns and says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. So kind of harsh. I find that difficult to read. It's cringy. But there's so much love between Jesus and Peter. Peter left everything to be with Jesus. Peter walked on the water with him. Peter was the first to wake up to who Jesus is. Like, you are the Son of God. You are God with us. And now Jesus is close to death, and the idea of Jesus being hurt or killed or leaving Peter behind, this is the stuff of Peter's nightmares. Peter wants to wrap Jesus up and protect him. Like, I found an image of, this is what I think of when I think of it. Can you go to the image? Yeah, that. He wants to just protect Jesus from anything bad ever happening to him. And when I read this scene, I feel really close to Peter. I find that the more capacity that my heart has to love and care for people, the more afraid I feel of someone that I care about getting hurt or losing them somehow. And my daughter Gracie picked up on this and brought it to my attention recently. A few weeks ago, we were at lunch, and I could tell there was something she wanted to talk to me about. And finally, she leaned across the table, she looked me in the eye, and she said, okay, so you have anxiety, right? And I don't usually think of myself as someone with anxiety, but I said maybe in certain situations, but I'm really kind of more of a shame person than an anxiety person. And she said, no, I mean like when it comes to me, like when I want to go out at night with my friends and do something or try something new. And then I understood what she was talking about. And I said, yes, thinking about something horrible happening to you definitely gives me anxiety. And then she said, have you considered medication? And I said, it's called love. They don't make a prescription for that. But she was exactly right. I want to wrap everyone I care about in bubble wrap because the thought of something happening to one of them hurts me too much. A few years ago, a good friend of ours was going through a stressful time, and I know when we're under stress, we're sometimes less aware of what we're doing or we take more risks, and he ended up in a bad accident, and he was okay, but it scared me. And ever since then, the fear of something like that happening to someone I care about sometimes causes me to want to pull back. And I have this voice that says, go ahead and love, but don't invest too much emotionally. Like, let's keep feelings out of this. And that way, if something happens, it will hurt less. And that's a very human way to think about it. It's very understandable. But Christ's love isn't safe. And thinking that we can love someone authentically and stay safe always, it's just a false choice. So C.S. Lewis once put it this way. He said, of all the arguments against love, none make so strong an appeal as, careful, this might lead to suffering. But when we respond to this appeal, we seem 1,000 miles away from Christ. There is no safe investment. To love is to be vulnerable. Love it all, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. In fact, the only place outside of heaven where we can be perfectly safe from all the dangers and perturbations of love is hell. But Peter wants a safe love, and I get that. So when Peter hears Jesus talking about suffering and death, Peter pulls him aside and says, God forbid this. This thing must never happen. And then Jesus turns to him and says, get behind me. You have your mind fixed on things below, not things above. Because God's love is always inexplicably mixed with suffering. But it's worth it. It's so good. There's life there. We were made for it. So this week, when love feels risky and we're afraid of suffering, I'm tempted to pull back from love. Maybe our prayer might be something like this. God, even though I'm afraid, help me choose love anyway. Whether it's love up close or at a distance, whether it's love through words or actions, let's pray that love would expand our perspective on what's possible between us and God and each other. All right, so now we're picking up in our text. So 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain. And there he was transfigured, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly there appears Moses and Elijah talking with him. So scholars say that seeing Moses representing the law and Elijah representing the prophets, this would have been really meaningful for Jesus' friends. Like, they would have realized then that Jesus is the fulfillment of the salvation that God had promised through Moses and Elijah. And Peter has already come to the realization that Jesus is God, the Son of God, God with us. But that realization hasn't touched Peter's fear yet. So Peter has an agenda. He's still fixated on keeping Jesus safe and keeping Jesus here. So Peter gets really excited, and he says this, Lord, it's so good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, far from the people down there who want to kill you. Like, this is perfect. Let's just stay up here on this mountain forever. And gosh, I get that too. If there was a mountain where my loved ones could be safe forever, I would want to put them up there and never let them leave. Like, I would never let my daughter go to a concert again. I would ban my friend Karen from using power tools to build ridiculously cute squirrel feeders. I would ask Jason to stop going for runs at sunrise in the desert when the rattlesnakes are waking up. I would definitely stop John Petillo from polar bearing in freezing cold temperatures. And I would get Gideon a stationary bike. If I had my way, I would put all the people that I care about up on a safe high mountain, because that's my agenda for them, out of my fear that one of them is going to get hurt. But a wise person once said, nothing actually grows on the top of a mountain. Like, the air is thin, there's no oxygen, and you just have to stay really still to keep from falling off. So Jesus brings his friends up to the mountaintop, not so they can stay there forever, but to give them a new perspective. So while Peter's still talking, a bright cloud overshadows them, and a voice says, "This is my son, my beloved, listen to him." The Greek here for listen, it has the same root as the word acoustic. It has the sense of like listen for comprehension, for clarity, for understanding. This is my son, my beloved. Try to understand him. Try to understand his story and what his love is about. Because that story is our story too. It's the story of God. It's a story overflowing with love and inexplicably bound with suffering. It's the story of seasons changing and seeds dying and stars fading and embers growing cold and eggs hatching and buds sprouting and a gentle breath coaxing sparks into flame. It's a story of life and loss and strength and collapse and resurrection. So if that's God's story, why would we expect our story to look any other way? So reflecting on that perhaps this week, maybe when we're afraid and we find ourselves wishing things were somehow other than they are, maybe the invitation to us is just that, to listen for the Spirit in quiet moments, to listen to the wisdom of our own hearts, to listen to each other, and try to listen for understanding. What is the story that's happening in our midst? What's God doing? And how can we say yes to it? All right, let's look now at how this story wraps up. So the gospel writer says, when the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome with fear. So let's just like allow ourselves to conjure up what that feels like, to be overcome with fear. And now it's God's own self that they're afraid of, like that voice that they heard. But then Jesus comes alongside them and touches them and takes a hold of them, and he says, "Get up and do not be afraid." So the Greek here for get up is actually the word for like to rise in the morning, like to wake up from a deep sleep. It's like someone saying, "Wake up, gain a new perspective." But I want to pause on this phrase, "Do not be afraid," because I think it's misleading. For one thing, whenever, just as human beings, whenever we hear someone say, "Do not do a thing," our mind tends to delete the "not" and we just hear, "Do the thing." But also, fear doesn't tend to be a choice we make. Like, love is a choice. But fear is just how our bodies feel when we encounter a situation or a person that we're not entirely certain is trustworthy. So what's interesting here is that the Greek for "not" is actually conditional, meaning something more like "lest you be afraid" or "so you will not be afraid." And that distinction feels important. Jesus comes and touches them and he says, "Wake up, gain some perspective so you will not be afraid any longer." And they lifted their eyes, expecting to see a God whom they were terrified of. And instead they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. Jesus who they already trusted. Jesus who called Peter out on the water. Jesus, who confronted Peter when he was being ridiculous, and also embraced him entirely when he was afraid. And I think this is Peter's second great epiphany. Not that Jesus is God, but that God is also no one else other than Jesus. And that changes everything. So C.S. Lewis once said it this way: when we finally see the face of God, we shall know then that we have always known it. For God has made and sustained and moved moment by moment all our earthly experiences of love. So this second epiphany gives Peter an entirely new perspective on who God is. It's as if now the foundation of the universe appears more trustworthy than he had ever imagined. And prior to this, Peter really wasn't willing to risk much for love. But after this, Peter takes one jump after another. He makes mistakes, but he follows Jesus down the mountain. He follows him to Jerusalem. He follows him into the garden. He follows him up the hill to the cross. He follows him through the grief those days later to the upper room when Jesus reappears. And Peter continues to take jump after jump, all the way to the point decades later when he dies as a martyr of the church. And through it all, Peter remains afraid. But Jesus had given him a new perspective. And that love and support helps Peter face his fear and choose love anyway. So here's my question for us. What do we need in order to face our fear? What kind of love and support do we need to be able to walk to the edge of our fear and jump when love calls us to jump? As a community, we've taken a few jumps together. And each time it's been because something expanded our perspective on who God is, who we are, love, and what's possible. So whatever that next jump might look like for us individually or us collectively, my hope is that we'll draw comfort from knowing that God is closer than we ever imagined. And we are loved completely and embraced entirely, even in our fear. And when I think about walking to the edge of fear and jumping when love calls us to jump, I think the hardest part is not the jump, but it's the second right before the jump. And I found something that I think captures that moment. And so I'm going to offer this as a closing reflection for us. And it has to do with those three guys from earlier. And also Will Smith. So one of those three guys, his name is Amar Kandil, he had heard Will Smith talking about facing his fears. And so the three guys issued Will Smith a challenge to something called heli bungee. So let's say that together. Heli bungee. It's basically bungee jumping out of a helicopter. And they filmed their challenge, and then people all over the internet, I guess, commented to Will Smith, like, you should really do this. So here is Will Smith's response. Take a look.
I got three conditions. One, we do it for charity. Two, we do it after I finish shooting my movie, because I don't want to be in breach of my movie contract. I can't be jumping out of no helicopter when I got a movie. And three, most important, non-negotiable, we do it over the Grand Canyon. Oh, now y'all scared.
Hey, Will Smith for Tom Cruise. TC! Yo, hey, you know how to fly a helicopter, right?
So they decided that the jump would happen on Will Smith's 50th birthday, and I'm going to invite us to watch as Amar Kandil prepares for his jump. And I want us to notice the universal pieces in this story, because facing our fear isn't usually about facing the thing we're actually afraid of. It's facing our fear is more about facing the intense emotion inside us. So as we watch Amar's jump, let's imagine what kind of love and support would we need from God and from each other if we were to take whatever version of this jump might be ours. So take a look.
Are you scared?
It's going to be like a sensory overload. I don't even know how high I'm going to be. I don't know how long the rope is going to be. I haven't had a proper like briefing session.
I wanted to talk about how scared I am for your life, dude. That's what I'm scared about. Do you understand? Like, this is the furthest we've ever stretched the idea of like fear and like saying yes.
Like, is it a good idea all the time? I'm genuinely really, really, really scared. But holding it in, but I'm like so scared.
Do you know how long you're falling?
I have no idea.
Like bungee, it's usually a, and then you get caught.
Yeah, it's
here, it's like, you just, it doesn't stop. We have the best in the world doing it, but it's just the fact that it's so rare. Like after they did the test jump, they were like, well, this was more technical than we expected.
Then they say that?
Yeah.
Why did no one tell me that?
Get some rest, sleep tight. Oh boy.
Good night.
It's wild how this small idea that started just in our apartment, basically like waking up in our underwear, turned on into this massive production.
I know.
So proud of you.
I love you guys.
Love you too.
This is just 3 years of work, and I couldn't be more grateful.
And now it's about to happen.
Let's do it! That's
pretty cool! He makes his, like, maybe theory. It was fun as a YouTube challenge.
And now it's like, for real!
Yeah! Oh, wow. Even this part is terrifying!
Oh my god, look at the traffic!
This is ridiculous. We're going. Jeez!
Here we go!
Wow!
God just pushed me.
Oh my god, dude! There's nothing I've ever done that tops that. That was the craziest experience. Wow!
I'm literally in tears.
What? How?
Alright, we'll just jump.
3 years together, and it all leads to this moment, right? There's so much love and so much like hard work was put into this, and now we get to celebrate all these people. And,
love you guys so much.
I was so scared.
So, an idea for our next Voxed retreat, maybe? So, I'd like to invite us to just reflect for a moment on, like, what's our version of that jump? And what kind of love and support do we need to walk to the edge of our fear and jump when love calls us to jump. Or another way to ask it might be this: where is Jesus coming alongside us in our fear and expanding our perspective on what's possible with God, with ourselves, with each other, so that even though we're afraid, we can choose love anyway? So I'd like to close us with, it's a breath prayer that we might find helpful this week in our moments of fear. So if you would just settle in, close your eyes if you wish, you can pray this silently with me. If you choose, you might place one hand on your heart and begin to notice the rise and fall of your breath. So the breath prayer goes like this. Jesus, I can't. You can. I'll let go. Inhale. I can't. You can. I'll let go. Deep breath. I can't. You can. I'll let go. And the Spirit says this: take my hand, the hand of God, the hand that holds everything, and feel your palm pressed to your heart, awaiting love's warm arrival. And notice fear and other soul fevers slipping through the lattice of wants and desires. For my hands never weary, and they hold fast to you in wrong and in right, both now and forever.